أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله محمد. Tuesday the 20th of May 2008 and for the next three or four lessons, we'll be looking at the story of Prophet Musa in the Holy Quran. Now, the story of Prophet Musa in the Holy Quran is something that we have done already some time back, and I guess it was some 4 or 5 years ago that we did that. And therefore, to have a refresher is not out of order, but moreover, there are a lot of ways to look at the verses that talk about Prophet Musa alayhi salam. I remember when we were doing this, we were looking at the personality of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, and how Allah appointed him and what the verses talked about. We shall look at more interestingly the factors, the circumstances, the environment that Prophet Musa was living in, and that is the attitudes and the behavior of the Banu Israel, who were being led by or were saved by Prophet Musa al-Islam. So what I would like to suggest is that we look at the chronological order of events as far as Prophet Musa goes. That means we look at his birth first, then we look at his childhood, his adolescence, then how he fled to Madain, lived with Prophet Shu'ayb, got married, and he came back, he was appointed as a prophet, he confronted Fir'aun, then he lived with the Banu Israel for quite a while, then he saved them, took them out from Egypt. And then what transpired from the time they escaped from Egypt as they were heading towards the promised land as it is. So all that is a huge chunk that the Quran talks about, and the Quran talks about it in several different surahs. So if we stick to the chronology, because that is how we will learn the story as well as learn what the Quran talks about. Today we will look at perhaps the one surah that has the majority of the main three surahs in which Allah talks about Prophet Musa and his life, alayhi salam, is Surah Al-Qasas, which is surah number 28, Surah Al-A'raf, which is surah number 7. And Surah Taha, which is Surah number 20. These are the three main surahs. Of course, the mention of Prophet Musa is in many other surahs, but these are the three main surahs in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Now, if we are to look at his childhood, at his birth, before we go to the verses, it is important that we understand the circumstances. And this picture that I want to draw just now is not something that you will get from the Quran directly. It is something you learn from history. And in order to understand what the Quran is talking about, it is important to have a very clear picture of the times at the time. Fir'aun was the ruler in Egypt, that we all know. And there was the Banu Israel, were the inferior class of people. They were the working class. They were the poor class as well. They were the one who was subdued class. And they were the ones who the Quran talks about being enslaved by Fir'aun and his people. Now Fir'aun and his people, wa mala'ihi, that the Quran refers to, is referring to the Coptics in Egypt. Now, in an environment where, if you look at the Jews were large in number, In fact, in Egypt at that time, the time of Prophet Musa, you could say they were in millions, the Jews, the Banu Israel. And they were subjected to all kinds of injustices. They were being discriminated, they were not allowed progress. Despite the fact that some of them were so intelligent that they had taken over civil posts in the courts of Pharaoh. They were the ones who were leading trustworthy officers in the courts of Pharaoh. So imagine a class of people who were subjected to such ridicule that they were humiliated, they were enslaved, they were exploited, and they could not find in themselves to rise against Pharaoh and the Coptics. Those Pharaoh and the Coptics were the rich elite. In that environment, whoever, and this is something that you got to understand, whoever would come and study their environment would find gross injustices against the Jews. And therefore, his heart, a person who stands for everything right, who is fair, his heart would go out towards the Jews. Ke bichara sympathetic, yeah? Ke bichara, so much they're going through, That was the environment in which Prophet Musa was brought. Now, Prophet Musa alayhi salam was born at a time which had been promised by Prophet Ibrahim and other prophets that at such a time somebody will come to save you from the tyrant. You see, the Jews, you got to understand, the Jews were very, very deep in astrology. Huh? This is not something new that you hear about Zionism and their connection to astrology and powers. That was there since then. Very, very deep-rooted links with astrology. They believed in stars, they believed in predictions, they believed in it so much. And if you go to see that even when our Holy Prophet, Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was born in 570 AD, Jews moved to Medina for a reason. The Jews that were found in Medina, they had moved to Medina for a reason, because according to their predictions and calculations, they were warned that around that time there would be a prophet. The only mistake they made was they thought it would be a Jew. They didn't realize that after Prophet Isa, Allah had cut all favors to Jews. And therefore, they had predicted, they had calculated, and they moved towards Yathrib in Medina because they found that this is the place where the next Messiah will come. Of course, the next prophet came from that area, but he was an Arab, and that is something they could not cope with. So, the time of Prophet Musa, these Jews knew that now is the time that a Savior will come who will save us from the tyranny of this tyrant, the Pharaoh. And it was such a common knowledge. All the workers, imagine all the workers talking about it, living for it, and these are the same workers who work in the courts of Pharaoh, in the palace of Pharaoh. And therefore Pharaoh came to hear about this. Aha, somebody is going to be born. That's who the Jews are living for. So, kill all their sons. Kill all the new babies born. Their sons, kill them all. Now, this was something that Pharaoh undertook in a bid to further humiliate the Jews. Remember, Pharaoh was, he was thinking that he's invincible. Nobody can take him out. Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. I am your Lord. I am your greatest Lord. That was the kind of feeling he had. He felt himself invincible. But he did this to humiliate the Jews. He says, who do you think you are? You think you're waiting for a boy to be born who will fight me? No, I'll teach you a lesson. I'll kill all the boys that are born. Well, from here starts... If you look at the whole story, whole picture, starts what is, I would term as, a typical example of what Allah says in the Holy Quran, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. That they plotted, and Allah plotted. And Allah is the best of all plotters. Because that plot and plan that Allah started was that these Jews, this Pharaoh would try and get rid of what? For Prophet that I am sending? I can't protect the Prophet. Teach Pharaoh a lesson. And we all know what happened. lesson that Allah taught Fir'aun was that Musa was brought up by Fir'aun, was brought up in the heart, in the core of his base, the palace of Fir'aun. So you can imagine. Now that is the circumstances under which Musa alayhi salam was born. Let us look at the verses and I take you to Surah Al-Qasas. This is Surah number 28, where the very first verses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the starting from the third verse, He says, نَتْلُ عَلَيْكَ مِن نَبَأِ مُوسَى وَفِرْعَوْنَ بِالْحَقِّ لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ, that we are going to narrate to you the story of Musa and Fir'aun. إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ. You see, Fir'aun, عَلَى فِي الْأَرْضِ, that means he was now, you know, an arrogant person. وَجَعَلَ أَهْلَهَا شِيَعًا يَسْتَضْعِفُ طَائِفَةً مِّنْهُمْ يُذَبِّحُ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيِي نِسَاءَهُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. This was what he was doing. His arrogance reached to a level, if you look at the meaning, his arrogance reached to a level where he corrupted the people, he killed their sons, and he let the women, the girls live, right? This was Fir'aun. Now, when he got to that level of arrogance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now, وَنُرِيدُ أَنَّمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا. Now, this is a verse that is related to, if you know, this verse is related to our belief in the 12th Imam, that we want to bless and favor those who are humiliated, who are weak, who are oppressed on this earth, and make them the inheritors. You see, look at the concept that the Jews believe in. The Jews believe in this concept, that they inherited the earth. Right? The concept of the meek shall inherit the earth, that is there in the Bible, is there in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that it is the weak who will inherit the earth. Those who have been wronged, those who have been oppressed. وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً, we shall make leaders from them. وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ وَنُمَكِّنَ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنُرِيَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَجُنُودَهُمَا مِنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَحْذَرُونَ, and we shall teach. Now this is the general gist of the story. We shall teach Fir'aun and Haman. Show them our signs. This is what you are fighting. Now begins the story of the birth of Prophet Musa. That during a time when boys were being killed after birth, Prophet Musa's mother gave birth to Prophet Musa. Now there was a fear in her heart. What do we do? Shall I kill my son? Shall I let my son be killed? What do I do? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِي. أوحينا إلى أم موسى. See, this is where wahi. أوحينا is from the word wahi. And wahi, we know, is revelation direct to prophets. Yet here, in this particular verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we revealed unto Musa's mother that feed him. أرضعيه, as in breastfeed him. Now, first of all, wahi, we have to understand that wahi has more than just revelation. It has the meaning of inspiration in it. And if you look at the Quran talks about wahi to prophets, which is direct revelation through Jibreel. It talks about wahi to the mother of Musa, that is not by direct revelation, but by an inspiration. That mother of Musa felt in her to do something. Strongly, that feeling, strong feeling, was Allah terming it here, that it was our revelation to her. It is our guidance to her, do this. She felt strongly she has to do that. She didn't know where she got the feeling from. She did not know that it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who was instilling in her that particular feeling, inspiring in her that particular feeling. And the Quran in Surah An-Nahl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the bees, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى النَّحْلِ, and we revealed. Now again, the wahi to the bees is not wahi as in messenger. The wahi to bees is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we instilled in the bees that guidance, that direction of making their hives and making honey. So the word wahi is used for communication from Allah to His creatures. Some directly through a messenger like Jibreel, and some by these inspirational feelings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates in the heart. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضَعِيهِ. Feed the child. You see, when a child is born, right, the first thing that a mother does is to feed the child. And it was at that stage that Prophet Musa's mother was scared. Oh, what will happen? Try and understand the scenario. That here is Fir'aun, who has ordered his soldiers and warriors to go house to house and visit all those who are expecting ladies. Anyone who has delivered, if it is a son, kill the son. Just take the son and kill the son. Now, they knew, Musa's mother knew, that very soon a knock on the door will come and the soldiers of Fir'aun will just ask to see her. And if they see her, that she is no longer expecting, that she has already delivered, they're going to ask for the child. If you show them a daughter, let you go. If you show them a son, then they will take the son. And that was her fear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells, don't fear. First of all, feed her. And remember, I mean, I'm sure we all know the story that Prophet Musa alayhi salam refused to take feed from any wet nurse in the courts of Fir'aun until his own mother was brought, as the Quran will mention. That was because the first feed that Prophet Musa had received was already from his mother, after his birth. And then Allah tells her, فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحَزَنِي. But if you are scared that your son will be taken away from you, then throw him in the Nile. Throw him in the river. وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحَزَنِي. Do not fear, nor regret. You see, the word khawf and huzn is interesting in the Quran. It comes many times, you know. لا تخاف ولا تحزن, right? When it says أولئك لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون, that means they have no fear nor do they regret, right? Allah Tabatabai points out the semantical reason as to why these two words are used together. And you'll see the Quran talks about this many times. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون, right? When you talk of signs of a mu'min, it's something that they do not fear nor do they regret. يحزنون is in grief, right? So they do not fear nor do they grieve. Allah Tabatabai draws the semantical link between these two words and says that fear is over the future of what is going to happen and grief is over the past what has happened. A mu'min does not fear the future nor does he regret the past. A mu'min is somebody who is living for now. The future is in the hands of Allah. He cannot control it. The past is already done. He cannot undo it. And therefore, anybody who wants to lead a life of contentment, of proper faith, then that person would be leading a life of something that is called لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. We do not waste time in worrying about the future, in fearing about the future as to what is going to happen, because that is in the hands of Allah. Nor do we grieve over what has passed, because what has passed is already done. You can't undo it. So these are the same words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells her, that once you throw Musa in the river, don't worry about what is going to happen to Musa. Because you can imagine a mother throwing her son away in the river. Where will the child go? Right, the clutches, the mercy of the river, the currents. So that worry can eat her up, and Allah is assuring her, don't worry. Nor do you regret. Don't regret what you have done. Do as I am telling you. And she did. Because Allah promises her, Inna radduhu ilayki wa ja'iluhu min al-mursaleen. We are going to return him to you. That's a promise that Allah inspires. Imagine the iman of the mother of Prophet Musa, right? That feeling that she got was not only the instructions to throw Musa alayhi salam in the river, but she got that reassurance that yes, once I throw, let me not worry, for some Lord that is looking over Musa alayhi salam is going to send him back to me. Allah promises her, and she does exactly what she feels strongly about, because Allah has told her. She is a faithful lady. She believes in what Allah tells her. She believes in what she feels towards the child. And she throws the child on the river. Now, of course, Allah promises here, and this is in the beginning of Surah Taha, I mean Surah Qasas, that إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ وَجَعَلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْكِ. We are going to return him to you, and we are going to make him amongst the chosen. So when Musa's mother threw Musa alayhi salam on the river, she felt that this is the promised Messiah. For reasons she could not explain, she felt that the instinct that she was going through, that she was to throw the child away and something will happen and this child will come back to me. She was so confident. That feeling was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this child is going to come back to you and he is going to be the messenger that you are all awaiting. Now, of course, when Prophet Musa's mother had made a basket, as we've all read in the stories are not very different from the biblical version to our version. In that, Prophet Musa's mother had made a basket and covered Prophet Musa and put him on the river, and the basket floated, and subhanAllah, it came to a stop on the banks of the river near the palace of Fir'aun. So, it was, according to historical events and narrations, it was Fir'aun and Asiya who were walking when they caught sight of this basket on the river. So Fir'aun tells his people, go and see what it is. And the people bring the basket to him, and they open the basket, they see a young child smiling. Fir'aun's first reaction was kill the child. That was Fir'aun's first reaction, because Fir'aun had tuned himself to killing all male offspring. His first reaction was kill the child. It was Asiya alayha salam, and you know the state of Asiya. I mean, the status of Asiya, I don't need to tell you. She is one of those exemplary ladies whose example has been mentioned in the Holy Quran as an example for all believers, male and female. Right? So her status is so high. That was Asiya. Now, Asiya alayha salam, not knowing that Prophet Musa is going to be a prophet, remember that. She had no knowledge as such. But she was a pious lady. And she saw this as a sign, because they did not have any children. Fir'aun and Asiya did not have any children. So Asiya turns to Fir'aun and says, and these are the words of the Quran, لِنَأْخُذُهُ قُرَّةَ عَيْنٍ لَنَا. That means, let him be the apple of eye for us. We don't have a son. We've got a son here. Instead of killing him, let us make him our son. Now, this is where the Quran starts. It says, فَالْتَقَطَهُ آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. The Quran starts by saying this, that it is the family of Fir'aun that picked him up. فَالْتَقَطَهُ, that means they picked him up. فَالْتَقَطَهُ آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. They did not know what they were taking. So that Musa alayhi salam would be for them an enemy and a source of regret. They will repent forever. I mean, of course, Fir'aun did regret later on. So why did I, ever pick up this child from the banks of the Nile? وَقَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ فِرْعَوْنَ قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ لِي وَلَكْ لَا تَقْتُلُهُ. This was what Fir'aun's wife said. قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ لِي وَلَكْ, let him be the apple of eye. قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ is an Arabic term which means the apple of the eye. Right? قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ لِي وَلَكْ. This child, let it be the apple of our eyes for me and you. لَا تَقْتُلُوهُ, don't kill him. عَسَى أَنْ يَنْفَعَنَا. He may benefit us. أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. We make him our son, nobody will be any wiser. Nobody will know. Just let us make him our son, adopt him. And so Fir'aun agrees. Now, this was something that transpired. Fir'aun accepts and they take the son in. Musa was brought up in the courts of Fir'aun. If you look at the initial phase, where the Quran talks about the initial phase, where as soon as the child was taken to the courts of Fir'aun, they were looking for a wet nurse to feed this young child. They did not know. Now, what had happened was, and we'll look at the verses. The verses from verse number 10 of Surah Al-Qasas says, وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا. Musa's mother's heart. There was a void in her heart. That's the word, فَارِغًا. That means there was a void in her heart. Imagine somebody, you know, who throws away, I mean a mother, right? Who throws away her son. And then the son is taken by the very person who wants to kill all male offspring. So Musa's mother's heart, there was a void in her heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن كَادَتْ لَتُبْدِ بِهِ لَوْلَا أَرَّبَتْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That she was about to come up and say, this is my son, give it to me. Had we not prevailed over her heart to remind her that believe in what I am telling you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here that Prophet Musa's mother was concerned for the welfare of her son, and she would have, had we not prevailed on her heart, and she would have, and had she, now look at this scenario, had she exposed herself and said, this is my son, you know what would have happened? Fir'aun would have killed her. Why? Because Banu Israel, a son, no, to kill him. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهَا. We controlled her heart. We overwhelmed her heart. لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. وَقَالَتْ لِأُخْتِهِ قُصِّيهِ. Now Musa's mother tells her daughter, that is his sister, Prophet Musa's sister, go and watch what is happening. فَبَصُرَتْ بِهِ عَنْ جُنُبِهِ. She used to look from afar what's happening. وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. They did not know that this young girl was moving along with them, watching what was happening. وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَاضِعَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. That means now we deprived him, we made it prohibited for him. He would not take milk from any wet nurse. فَقَالَتْ هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَيْتٍ يَكْفُلُنَهُ لَكُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُ نَاصِحُونَ. Now this young girl comes up and says, shall I show you somebody who will be able to? Because what was happening was any wet nurse that would come and try to feed Musa alayhi salam, Musa would turn his face away. This was the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah says, Inna radduhu ilayki, we are going to return him to you. This was the promise. How he worked it out is all a question of mechanics. If you look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does things, you would say, but okay, Musa's sister was there and she suggested. But this is how Allah is organizing these things. Musa's sister gathers up the strength, comes up forward and says, look, he is refusing to accept milk from anybody. I know a wet nurse who perhaps will be able to feed him. And they were so desperate. They were at the end of their wits and said, fine, call somebody. Call her. And the young sister of Prophet Musa goes home, calls her mother. She comes and Prophet Musa is fed by his own mother. Right in the court of, in the palace of Fir'aun, without Fir'aun knowing it. This is Musa and his own mother. These are the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beginning to tell us. See, remember one thing. By the time you finish the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, you will be able to write a list of all the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set down to Bani Israel. All the bounties, all the signs, all the miracles. Despite that, the Banu Israel refused to believe what Prophet Musa told them to do. So it makes you wonder now. We will talk about the nature, the behavior of Banu Israel at a later stage, but you can start enumerating the miracles from here. That at a time when Fir'aun took all the steps to ensure that no Messiah is born, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivers a prophet right in the heart of that enemy's land, you know, the enemy's palace, and say, here, he will bring him out. فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first verse says, إِنَّا رَدُّهُ إِلَيْكِ. We are going to return him to you. Here he says, after the fact that the young girl brought her mother and Musa alayhi salam took the milk from his own mother, فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنْ. So that she does not repent over what she had done, and that she is happy with her fruit of eyes, with her, وَلِتَعْلَمَ, and so that she knows أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهُ حَقٌّ, that whatever Allah promises is going to happen, definitely going to transpire. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُ. Most of the people don't understand this. These words are very strong words. For a person like Prophet Musa's mother, the promise that Allah had made her that I will return Musa to you transpired and was realized in a short time. I mean, this was over what? A few hours? One day? Half a day? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told her to throw Prophet Musa and then made sure that she was reunited with her son at the court of Fir'aun within a few hours. Because remember, Musa al-Islam refused to take a feed from anybody. Right? Within a few hours, the promise that Allah made to her was realized. The verse is, وَلِتَعْلَمَ أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ. Remember, the promise made by Allah is always true. It is always going to materialize. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُ. Most of the people are not going to realize. Most of the people don't understand this. Why? Because we want the promise that Allah makes to us, whatever kind of promise that we read about in the Quran, makes to us as believers, we want that promise to be fulfilled immediately in front of our eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look, remember, the principle is Allah's promise is going to be fulfilled, is the truth, it is going to take place. When is what He decides when it is best suited for us. Some things happen quickly, some things take time. That is something we've got to realize. And you will see that the Jews, their iman, you know, it was like a yo-yo, you know, roller coaster going up and down, because of this particular fact. Because they were promised so many things, and yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His own wisdom, would lengthen the time element, and they would lose heart, and they would go down. And then again, the iman would be brought back up by another miracle, and another event, and so on. So, this particular promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَعَلَى اللَّهِ حَقٌّ, it is going to happen. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Most of them do not know. Now, from that particular phase of childhood up to the time where he became a mature young man, where he was still in the courts of Fir'aun, there is not much mentioned in Quran or in history. He grew up. He grew up in the palace of Fir'aun, and to understand how he must have grown up in the palace of Fir'aun, we only have to use common sense to understand that Fir'aun was the great ruler, the king, right? His son must have been a prince. Now, royalty, how does royalty live? Royalty lives by having bodyguards at all times. Whenever he goes out, there are, you know, bodyguards taking care of him. Whatever he wants, he gets. But Prophet Musa al-Islam was a pious person. was somebody who stood for what is right, was somebody who could not tolerate the kind of treatment the Jews were being given. And what he did was, geographically, the Coptics were living in one part of the city in Egypt, and the Jews were living in another part of the city. You could call it the slum area, you could call it the underprivileged area, whatever. And this particular area of the Jews was visited by Fir'aun, by his army, you know, now and then to go and see, like royalty would go and visit, you know, the land that he rules, to see that everything is okay and all that, once in a while. Prophet Musa developed a habit to go and visit that place. He would go sometimes, according to some narrations, he would go with protection, official visits. And yet sometimes he would go without any bodyguards. He would sneak his way out from the palace and go into that area. Now, if you look at history, you would like to understand why he did that. One, his mother. Two, and the evidence lies in the fact that when he became a prophet, he asked for his brother Harun. He says, Harun is as good as me, or even more eloquent than me. Now, if Fir'aun had been separated totally from his brother, and that there were no links with his brother, how would Fir'aun know how Harun was, who Harun was? True, he would have fully learned and discovered that Harun was his brother. But for a fact, to vouch for his brother's behavior and character in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, look, I want Harun as my assistant because I can rely on him, that shows a bond and a link of years, childhood together perhaps. And therefore, it is understood that Prophet Musa alayhi salam, whilst living in Fir'aun's palace, as he grew up, he used to frequently visit that area, the area in which the Jews lived, the area in which his mother, his brother lived. He would visit his brother, he would visit his mother, and then secretly again sneak back to the palace of Fir'aun. That was what Musa did. It was there, in one of those visits, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you look at verse number 15 of Surah Al-Qasas, verse number 15 of Surah Al-Qasas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَدَخَلَ الْمَدِينَةَ عَلَىٰ حِينِ غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. Now, one day, I mean, literally if you translate, if you were writing the story in English, you would say, one day, he entered the city without the people of the city knowing that this is an official visit of a prince. حِينِ غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا, that means the people of that area did not know that there is going to be a visit by a prince. Musa alayhi salam was considered a prince, son of Fir'aun. فَوَجَدَ فِيهَا رَجُلَيْنِ يَقْتَتِلَانِ, he found two people fighting each other. هَذَا مِنْ شِعَتِهِ وَهَذَا مِنْ عَدُوِهِ, one of them was one of his followers and one from his enemy. Now, the word شِعَتِهِ means that there was a group of people from among the Jews who looked at Prophet Musa and had clung on to him as the promised Messiah. Already by then. Here we're looking at a youngster of around 19, 20 years old. We're not looking at a very 40, 50 years old, no. We're looking at a young man who, the Jews already had idea, this looks like... Because every time he visited that area, he would manifest that aura of being fair, of being kind, of promising them that, look, whatever Fir'aun does, right, hood and truth will prevail, you will be saved, have faith in God, and so on. So, a lot of people had developed this faith on Musa alayhi salam. And it was one of his followers who was fighting one of the soldiers of Fir'aun. So, فَاسْتَصْرَخَهُ هَذَا مِنْ عَدُوِهِ فَاسْتَغَاقَهُ الَّذِي مِنْ شِعَتِهِ عَلَى الَّذِي مِنْ عَدُوِهِ. فاستغاثه, that means he sought help. That person who was from his follower sought help, helping Musa. And Musa alayhi salam helped him. فوكزه موسى فقضى عليه. وكزه موسى فوكزه موسى, that means he boxed him. One box of Musa alayhi salam and the man fell down dead. فقضى عليه, the man fell down dead. Now, قال هذا من عمل الشيطان إنه عدو مضل مبين. Prophet Musa alayhi salam was upset at what he had done. Remember, if you look at the story of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, Prophet Musa was known for his anger. But his anger was not at personal issues, his anger was at what was right and what was wrong. In this particular incident, there is no doubt that Prophet Musa saw that one of his followers' rights were infringed, or he was being tortured, or he was being mistreated, or he was being abused, whatever. And Prophet Musa intervened to protect the rights of this person, not because he was a follower of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, it was because what Prophet Musa all his life believed in, protecting the rights of the oppressed. And so he came out to help. Now, Prophet Musa did not know his own strength. And when he hit him, he died. And when he died, he said, oh, what's happened? This is not right. This is not what I'm supposed to do. So, you've got to understand that Prophet Musa did what he did out of love of protecting what is right. And the only transgression, if there is at all, on the part of Prophet Musa was that he did not know his own strength. His intervention was necessary. Any other prophet would have done the same thing. We don't know the details of the actual reason why they were fighting each other. But you can assume that it must be something so grave and serious that Prophet Musa, a wise man by that time, an intelligent person by that time, intervened. And he killed this man. Of course, his intention was not to kill the man. His intention was to just inflict some harm, to hit him and turn him away from his follower. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي فَغْفِرْ لِي فَغَفَرَ لَهُ. I am not going to go into the details of ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي, as in Prophet Musa being a ma'asum, how can he say, because that I'm sure we've all covered in the time of Prophet Adam, and we've realized that when it comes to prophets saying that we have done a sin or we have wronged ourselves, the prophets are talking about minor kind of oversights, but to them those are grave and serious, and they use the same language that we would use for disobeying Allah. They would not disobey Allah. They were prophets, ma'asum. But any slight where, you know, it is not haram, it is not forbidden by Allah, but slight transgression where they think we could have done different, we could have done better, they would consider that as ظَلَمْ تُنَفْسِي. And therefore, he sought forgiveness and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him. Prophet Musa then says, قال ربي بما نعمت عليه لن أكون ظهيرا للمجرمين. You've got to understand this particular statement, that Prophet Musa was so happy that Allah had forgiven him for this particular transgression in his eyes, right? That he says, oh Allah, because of what you have blessed me with, now I will never support those who do wrong things. لن أكون ظهيرا. ظهيرا means to support. لِلْمُجْرِمِينَ, those who do wrong things. What Prophet Musa then realized, and this was the beginning, it just dawned to him. He had been thinking up to now, you know, that these people, they have been subjected to such kind of humiliation and ridicule, and everything that is happening to them is wrong. Must put a stop to it. Now, imagine those naive thoughts that Prophet Musa had, right? He thought that these were God's chosen people on the earth. And to protect them, he could not see for himself, they could be wrong in their actions. He had not experienced that these Jews, these Banu Israel, were sometimes to blame for what was happening to them. Does not make what Pharaoh was doing as right. But you can imagine now, Prophet Musa came here with a view to protect the poor, right? To help the underprivileged, and he had not yet experienced that part of the life of these underprivileged people where they could fault, they could make mistakes. And therefore he, when he went out to protect them, he would think, oh, these people are always, being tortured, abused, and therefore he needs to protect them at all times. What he realized from this particular event and incident was, that is not the case. And so he promised Allah that give me the strength that whilst I will help the trodden people, I will help the poor people, I will help the oppressed people, but I will not be a support to those who do wrong things. لَنْ أَكُونَ ظَهِيرًا لِلْمُجْرِمِينَ. That is why the second time when it happened the following day, right? This is when, after killing this man who was Pharaoh's man, Prophet Musa al-Islam refused to go back to Pharaoh's. This was his time where he severed his link with Pharaoh, because he had killed a person from Pharaoh's man. Now to go back would be the exposure, the final exposure. Therefore, he slept there. The next day, فَأَصْبَحَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ يَتَرَقَّى. The next day, he woke up in the same city. He was, of course, looking out for whether Pharaoh's people were searching for him or not. And who does he come across? He comes across the same person who called on him yesterday to help him against Pharaoh's men. This man now is fighting somebody else. Now Prophet Musa realizes, what is wrong with these people? Just pick fights with everybody. This is not the way to end this rule of tyranny. No. And so, as he steps down to talk to these people, Pharaoh's man says, what are you going to do, Musa? You going to kill me the way you killed that person yesterday? And Prophet Musa says, no, this is enough. I will not do this. And he turned around to his person and says, you are... the word used, إِنَّكَ لَغَوِيٌّ مُبِينٌ, right, that you are the one who are foolish, stupid. You can't pick fights with these people every day. Just because once I help you, you think I'm going to help you again, kill him again? This is not the right method. And this is what dawned on Prophet Musa at the time, that this is not the right method to fight these people. Right? And as he was talking to this, فَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ فَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا مُوسَى إِنَّ الْمَلَأَ يَأْتَمِرُونَ بِكَ لِيَقْتُلُوكَ فَخْرُجْ إِنِّي لَكَ مِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. A man came running from the city. These are the slum areas. This man comes running from the city and says, now the court of Pharaoh has realized what we have done and is sending people planning to capture you and kill you. Get out from here. I am giving you a good warning. I am from one of those who care for you. فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّفْ قَالَ رَبِّ نَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. So he left the city and he prayed to Allah that save me from the clutches of these tyrant rulers. Now the surah, mind you, Surah Al-Qasas goes with length up to the time when he was appointed a prophet after he comes back from Madian and so on. The The one thing that I just want to add here, because I know we're coming to the end of our time and I do want to give time for some questions. The one thing I want to add here is that Prophet Yusuf al-Islam was before Prophet Musa. And Prophet Yusuf was in Egypt. Now, the effect of what Prophet Yusuf had taught should be somehow visible, some traces of his presence known, right? And Mufassirin historians say that the traces of Prophet Yusuf's work was found in the fact that this person in the heart of Firaun's people was a believer. Mu'minu Ali Fir'aun. You know Mu'minu Ali Fir'aun? There are three Mu'mins mentioned by the Holy Prophet in Hadith, yeah? One is Mu'min Ali Fir'aun. One is Mu'min Ali. This is Najjar. This is the one in Surah Yasin. Habib al-Najjar. In Surah Yasin. وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Right? And the third one was Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, who the Prophet says he is the Mu'min of Quraysh, right? Now, these three are specifically mentioned in the Holy Quran as those who brought faith in difficult times and dedicated themselves exclusively to the faith in the messenger as well as the message. There's a difference, huh? It is not that they generally believed in the message only, no. They had absolute faith on the messenger as well. Right? And this is what this Mu'min Ali Fir'aun. Mu'min Ali Fir'aun, the historians ask this question as to he supported Prophet Musa alayhi salam inside the camp of Fir'aun as Prophet Musa was growing up, and at this juncture he risks exposure and warns Musa alayhi salam and says, "You go run away, don't worry about me." Of course, Mu'min Ali Fir'aun was then killed for leaking to Musa alayhi salam and ensuring that Musa alayhi salam fled from the city. Historians say this was the direct result of Prophet Yusuf's work at the time. And as a result, the traces of his tabligh in that land brought fruits and results like Mu'min Ali Fir'aun. We will, inshallah, next time look at the journey to Madian, what happened in Madian. I can assure you, 4 weeks are definitely not enough to learn about the whole story of Prophet Musa. But we will see as much as we can, and if we want to extend it, if time permits me and you, we shall continue, inshallah. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين.
What were their respective ages? What was the ordering of the siblings?
Yeah, if I could talk more about Musa's family. Musa's father's name was Imran, Musa ibn Imran. But it is not the same Imran as Al Imran. Al Imran, that Imran is a different Imran, because Imran was a common name in the Bani Israel at the time. Of course, Musa's mother's name, I don't recall her name correctly, is Asa or something like that. Okay, Shannon. Yeah? Whose sister? Yeah? Safiya. Well, Safura. Safura sounds better name, yes, yes. Yeah. In any case, the only relation that has been mentioned is Harun. Right? Harun is his brother. His wife was the daughter of Prophet Shu'aib. That has been mentioned. but no other mention of his children or I'm sure biblical versions would have some kind of, but we do not. I have.
Was the father alive at the time of his birth?
Sorry? Was the father alive during the time of Prophet Musa's birth? There is no mention of it. There is no indication that his father was alive. Yes.
Hi.
Alaykum as-salam.
I just wondered, how did Harun survive long then? Because if all the boys were
being
killed, was Harun very older than Musa or younger than Musa?
Oh, that's a good question. How did Harun survive? I have reason to believe he was old. He was older than Prophet Musa.
He is older.
Sorry?
As far as I know, he's older.
He's older, yes. And that the period in which Fir'aun was killing the young boys, the new offsprings, was probably around a year around the time Musa was born. You know, it was not like 20 years in advance or 10 years ago. So, Prophet Harun was older, and that was one of the reasons why Prophet Musa wanted Harun's support as well. Yes. Jibril. Salaam.
I just want to ask, at the time when Prophet Musa was born, what religion people were practicing? That's the first question. Second question, is it, what is the criteria you mentioned that Asia was a pious lady? And the third thing, at what age, Prophet Musa, Torah was revealed unto him, and he became prophet?
Hmm. Right, let's take one at a time. The first question was what religion? The religion was, they were known as Mushrikeen, the polytheists at the time. We have, for example, we know the Coptics as Christians, right? But that came in much later. At the time, the Coptics is a tribe. The Coptics are not a religious group. The Coptics are a tribe in Egypt. And they, at the time, were known for worshipping. In fact, we'll discuss that at length. But they had several gods. And one of the main symbol of worship was a cow. Right? The Apis bull. That is why you find that the effect the Jews had on a cow. If you remember the story of Samiri taking a calf, and the impact it had on the Jews was for a reason. That those rich people that had seen the Coptics were worshipping this Apis bull, right? And perhaps this was the god of prosperity. And therefore perhaps it will bring prosperity to us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them to slaughter a cow in Surah Al-Baqarah. There is that link if you look at the whole story. Where Allah is trying to drive into their minds that this bull or a cow has no value at all. It is Allah who controls everything. So there is this, reason to believe they were polytheists. Secondly, they were believers in astrology and magic sorcery. A lot of, Fir'aun was the father of all magicians, as he calls himself in the Quran. He calls all magicians together. So, the Banu Israel, were believers in one God because of the prophets who had come before Prophet Musa alayhi salam. There were prophets who had come before Prophet Musa from Prophet Ibrahim's time, right? And they, their faith had been, their understanding of Allah and had gone and been diluted so much. The promise they had been given by Allah was no longer in their minds and so on. So that is why Prophet Musa came to refresh their memories and rejuvenate their spirit in belief. This was number one. Second question was,
what was the criteria? You said Asia.
Yes, Asia believed in one God. Asia was not from the Jews, no, it was a Coptic. But Asia believed in one God, and she was pious in her belief, so much so that we know the story when Fir'aun realized that here is somebody who in my own house is not believing in me, is not believing in what I believe. he killed her. And the Quran has an eloquent way of describing her iman by saying that you know, she was shown paradise, and she prayed Rabbibni li inda ka baytan fil jannah. These are the du'as, this is the du'a that Asi actually recited, that make a house for me near you, with you in paradise. This was Asi alayhi salam. And the Quran speaks very eloquently, very explicitly about the faith of a person who lives with a tyrant like Fir'aun and practices her own faith. The last one, the age. I have not come across any age, but I think there is some mention of 40 years somewhere, if I'm not mistaken. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ 40 سَنَةً. Right. Now, whether that was for prophethood or that was for the book Torah. There is no mention about the age, no. That is the word, yes. You see, if you look at the time scale, roughly speaking, you're looking at, you know, 8 years that he spent with Nabi Shuaib, and then he came back, and it was whilst he was coming back that he was appointed a prophet. You're looking at roughly around late 30s, early 40s. But that, there is no age mentioned.
But in this case, when one prophet passes away, then the Allah gives a revelation to other prophets. Just for example, Nabi Shu'aib was before Nabi Musa.
Right? No, prophets is very different. There are prophets. There are three or four prophets existing at the same time. Yeah. There are gaps between prophets. The prophethood, you see, it is not like Imamud, as we believe, one Imam, one Hujjah at all times. Prophets, no, I mean, so many instances, like Prophet Isa and Yahya, Prophet Ibrahim and Lut, and these are all coexisting at the same time.
Thank you.
I think we have the last one,
sisters. Yes, no one's time, yes.
Any quick last one,
No, 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 no